up, bros, and welcome to our brand new miniseries, Bra Meets World Presents Let's Make a Mixtape.
I'm MC Siege.
And I am DJ Tony Coitus.
And you guys, before we get into the nitty-gritty, I know you've been waiting. I know you've been wondering. Yes, we know there's a deal on the table. So this will be our last episode of our mini-series, Let's Make a Mixtape, at least for the time being. We are happy. We are proud. We are excited to bring you season 7 coming soon. Until then, we are still going to be taking you guys on a trip on memory lane, reminiscing on those MySpace days, LimeWire downloads, and making you the ultimate Bruhtastic playlist. Tony and I each will select 10 tracks and give you a throwback mixtape experience.
We're jamming the music exclusively from our formative years, spanning the 1980s through 2010. At the end of the episode, we will share links to our new mixtape and let you, the audience, decide who had The better mixtape.
And again, as I said earlier, you guys, we have appreciated you so far. You've been with us on this ride.
It's been fun. I've been loving this mixtape journey. We've been getting a ton of great feedback from it. I can't promise that this will be our last episode. I feel like we should sporadically.
This will come up again. This is just like we're letting you know that we are going to go back to our, regular programming.
Regular schedule programming.
As you know, we will be talking about the strike. We will be talking about season 7. We will be talking about the live shows. Again, there's so much that we will be talking about, but we had to bring it to you because it's Thanksgiving. We're here. Mm-hmm. And this is time to bring people together 100%. With a very special mixtape. Per Tony's special formula for a Hot No Skip playlist, our mixtape must include these categories.
Track number 1, an upbeat dance number. Track number 2, a mid-tempo groove. Track number 3, a power ballad. Track number 4, a dance track. Track number 5, catchy earworm. Track number 6, a self-reflective bop. Track number 7, the last dance song on the album. Track number 8, deep cut. Track number 9, retro vibes or acoustic vibes. And then track number 10 is the epic finale.
And this week, if you haven't picked up on it, we are doing collabs. TC, why don't you take them back and explain why collabs? What's going on?
You know, this is our kind of our swan song for this miniseries. And, you know, it's been a lot of excitement, but, you know, we're coming towards the holiday season and it just made sense to kind of like celebrate the unity that comes from the holidays, you know, whether it be Thanksgiving or any of the other ones, families, friends, everyone's coming together. And it made us think like musically, what's that like when people come together? So
absolutely. And I think that you guys will find if you've been listening along to our mixtapes that this one, well, you'll see a lot of familiar faces, a lot of familiar sounds.
Oh, really? You know what's so funny? I tried my hardest, my absolute hardest, not to repeat artists that I've already used, and I couldn't do it successfully.
And you know what? We're already starting off with two different approaches, and I love it because I looked at this and I was like, am I supposed to just skip this person? I think not. So that'll be really great. Per our rules, we do draft rules, so once a song is off the board, it's off the board. Neither one can use it on their other playlist, so that means we got to be wily. And I'm telling you right now, because of what you just said, I have a little bit more hope, but I feel like I had to have like a lot of branches of if and.
And I also try to make this, at least my playlist, somewhat cohesive. You know, there's no genre rules on this playlist, so you can really go all over the place. Yeah. But you'll see that I found a comfortable middle that I feel good about.
I think that's a good way to be. This week, Tony Curtis, DJ Tony Curtis, goes first. So you get to start us off, and that will determine so much on my playlist. But I'm really happy.
I'm so excited I get to start because I know I'm like 90% sure I'm stealing this one directly from your playlist.
Here's the thing. You know what? I prepared for it. I knew my heart knew. So I know where we're going. But I'll let it be. Some things you can't change, like Thanksgiving. Some things you just gotta accept.
You never know who's gonna show up. Exactly. Yeah. So my number one, you know, is the upbeat dance number. Trying to think about some of the more famous collaborations that I've experienced throughout our 3-decade span, and it's kind of hard. I mean, specifically from when we were in middle school, like this song, I think, just really what showed me how fun collaborations could be.
Correct.
So I'm starting my collaboration playlist. Hey, sister, soul sister, oh! Gotta get that flow, sister. Remember that night, that old Moulin Rouge. Gotta start again. Off with Lady Marmalade.
Lady Marmalade, Lady Marmalade. First of all, just want to say, was my backup in case you took the other one. So I knew, like, either way, it was being first on somebody's list. I knew it was. I knew it had to be. And then Lady Marmalade, as you said, it was fun. I remember when this music video came out, my mind, like, this has been done before, like, collaboration of people from different genres and different, you know, coming together on a song is not unique. It's been, like, in the music industry. However, like this, me, as an individual, had never seen it done before. And my mind was exploding with the concept, with the look, with the different genres, with the different artists. We had diversity. It was so much fun. And everyone brings it. Everybody brings it.
I couldn't agree with you more. I had so much fun with the song when it came out. I specifically remember their VMA performance of this song as well being a lot of fun. Yeah, I wanted to start off with like a big group number, and there's so many great, yes, like girls coming together songs. Another mm-hmm. one that comes to mind is In Vogue and Salt and Pepper, What a Man, What a Man, What a Man, What a Man, something like that, or Not mm-hmm. Tonight by Lil' Kim. Yes, it's ladies' night, that has the Brat and Missy Elliott in it. So like there are these songs about these women just coming together and just kind of having this big party song, and that's what Lady Marmalade seems like to me. I mean, you have these divas, I kind of all in their own right, Pink, Christina Aguilera, Maya, Lil' Kim, all giving amazing performances, all serving looks.
All serving. And then Christina came in, but like one of the things I learned, I don't know if it's true, this is a rumor, blah, 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 but I heard that Pink came and she was like, I don't like my lyrics, so she switched with Christina.
Mm.
And one thing Christina gonna do, no matter where she is placed, she gonna remind you she got them vocals.
100%. I love Christina too, because when she finally does come in with a hey, 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 she's just like, I'm here to sing. I don't know what y'all came to do. I'm here to perform. And you know what?
Exactly.
Christina reminds me of that girl from like, I don't know if you were ever in chorus or choir or like did like musical theater or anything uh-huh. like that, where it's like, hey guys, the goal is to blend all our voices together. Christina, yours is coming out a little stronger than everyone. I know.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
That's the attitude.
And for those of you who watched Glee, Christina was the Rachel Berry of this whole.
100%.
She was like, I understand that this is a group, but for my little bit, it's a solo. Mm-hmm. I'm who you came to see. I'm who you will remember. And it's so good. And then we also get Lil' Kim, which Lil' Kim, I love. Yeah. Like Lil' Kim's little breakdown. It's so much fun. We independent women, some are stickers for whores. I'm saying, why spend mine?
But I'm not spending yours. Love it.
Yeah.
Also, and you know what? We're kind of like outside of the strike, so I can kind of freely talk about how this was on the Moulin Rouge soundtrack and how interesting that soundtrack was of being kind of like one of the first popular, like what we call jukebox musicals, which is like, hey, we're going to take all of these already popular songs and throw them into something. You see that with Greatest Showman. Like, it's happened since, but Moulin Rouge was kind of the first example of that, and then kind of incorporating modern pop songs into like a historic setting, and just the way they did it and, you know, used the song as like the main pillar to sell that movie, I thought was really interesting.
Exactly. Also, Missy, our favorite Missy, Miss Demeanor, is the kind of, she gives our outro. Missy like brings us together, and I again, always deserving.
I kind of forgot Missy was a part of this, but of course she is.
Miss Demeanor, yeah.
You're right.
Okay, thank you for that, because it had to be included. It's actually one of the reasons why I even thought of collabs, because I saw it and I was like, this is such a fun song that needs to be included. Of course, if that's where you went, then I'm gonna start off my playlist with the iconic. If we're talking collaborations, if we're talking duos, if we're talking events, even memorable, you can't go anywhere without the boy is mine, the boy is mine, the boy is mine. And I immediately, once we say collapse, I was like, the thing about the boy is mine.
I knew you were going to have that song on your song. Of course. I knew it immediately.
Of course. The thing about the boy is mine is you get Brandy versus Monica. And like, this is like, they are literally competing. They're competing in the song. They're competing for a man. They're competing in the music video. And this is like a, what is it called? A gay canon event. If you were a young gay boy, whether you were out or not, you chose someone who you were going to be. And that was who you were during this song. And there were plenty of performances where I made my sister perform this song, but I was Brandy. Brandy is me. Don't come for my lyrics.
Oh, so you feel like Monica is the side chick in the
Of course, here's the thing. I considered myself a wholesome young one, so I was team Brandy on this. But here's the thing, that's it. That ain't the boy belong to. What's your answer?
Oh,
who was the original? Yeah.
I feel like the crime was having the fandom go like, I'm team Brandy, I'm team Monica. Fucking Mekhi Phifer out here running games on these streets. Like, this dude don't deserve either of these girls. So absolutely. And the music I'm team video women in this.
The music video answered that.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, sure. Again, like even like the little skit we get, because this is back when we used to get skits. I'm sorry, do you know somebody's name? Oh, you know his name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I know his name. Again, I love this song. I had to start it
need
off.
Need to give it up. Had about enough. It's not hard to see. The Lord is mine.
Yep. Love it. So that's
have
my
you seen
one.
That on TikTok? Like, there's teachers who show the music video to their class as an example of like storytelling and like through songs, and they have them like do like exercises on point of view using
I
that.
Love
yeah,
this. I never knew
TikTok
that.
I'm gonna find it. Yeah, because yeah. It's actually really interesting about like interviewing the kids and being like, okay, so from whose point of view did you relate to, and what did you see from your eyes? And it's very interesting how the song just continues to serve.
Always. This is it. If we were talking collaboration, the boy is mine.
All right. Well, you know what? That's a great number one. I'm excited to introduce my number two, because I think that like when I made this playlist, I really tried to think about collaborations that changed something for me in terms of like, oh, I didn't know we could do that. And So for this one, this is a hip hop song that I just feel like elevated the format of hip hop to be something completely different, because I feel like you could do like a before this song and an after this song in terms of just the story of hip hop. And so the song I'm putting at my number two, my mid-tempo groove, is Nothing But a G Thing by Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. As you
one,
said, there was
two,
three and
the
then
foe.
A foe.
Doggy Dog and Dr. Dre, is that your dough? This song was a massive, this was like one of the biggest songs in the country when
it came out.
It was like
so big.
It was everywhere. And just like the impact that this song made in terms of taking rap to the mainstream, introducing, this is Snoop Dogg's first introduction to the world, and he kills it. So like, this song just means so much to me. I've seen the music video more times than I can count, and this whole The Chronic album is one of the most classic albums in the history of hip hop, with so many great songs on it. And I have a perfect memory of my cousin's cassette tape version of it that he used to play in his broke down car all the time. So had to throw it on here.
Love us though, back like the cassette in the car in itself is of a time and place. Okay, for two songs. Much like you, I was like, I needed something that changed the game. And everyone, when you heard it, you were like, what? But also, another one of your favorites, Jay-Z and Linkin Park's Numb/Encore.
Great song. And you know what, it was almost on my list for that exact same reason. It was actually my backup just in case you had my number two, but it was for that exact same reason that I was like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know these two music styles could even go together like that.
And they worked really, really well. Like, it's one where it's like, when you hear the beat, first of all, we all knew that Linkin Park's Numb when it came out was like so fantastic, and that beat iconic. Black people love that song. But to hear Jay-Z be like, yo, they have something here, and him placing his encore over it, it just was like, yes. Like, it was all of those Black kids who listened to rock music felt validated in that moment. And that blending of the two, iconic, loved it. My number two.
And I also think it just, you know, a group like Linkin Park, which I feel like now you wouldn't even question that there's a hip-hop rap influence. Although I feel like at the time it was kind of like, there was a clear separation between rock and rap that I feel like Linkin Park and that whole new metal scene tried to, like, I don't know, kind of infuse with. And I feel like there's no better example of that than Linkin Park. And you can tell, because when you hear both of these songs kind of, it's first like mashup, I think I remember hearing ever. When you hear the mashup, it just it sounds like it was always supposed to be that way, which I think is one of my favorite parts about it.
Love it.
Okay, so we have our first two tracks down.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to the power ballad. This is another song that just, I remember Taking My Life by Storm. I feel like this was like summer 2004, and I couldn't go anywhere without hearing this song by these two artists that I think have each made such a great contribution to music. So my number three, my power ballad, which isn't much of a power ballad, but is a ballad, is Nelly and Kelly Rowland's Dilemma.
Yes, that ain't a ballad. I will allow it because you get to go first, but that ain't a ballad. And I knew, ooh, I mean, first of all, the fact that you have that one makes me angry. I'm not going to lie. Because
no matter what I do, all I think about is you. Even when I'm with my boo.
I feel like that's a ballad. That has to be a ballad.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to lie. The only reason why it didn't get ballad status was because I thought we needed something a little
slower. Yeah.
A little bit more slow. But here's the thing. You are pleading your case. That is iconic. They both contributed so much to that time frame. And you're right. Dilemma.
It was a moment.
It's iconic. It's a moment. You got Patti LaBelle. Like, it's so good. I love the sample. I love the song. I hate you, but I'm happy for you.
It would be a crime for us not to mention the cell phone scene from the music video.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Kelly is texting Nelly, but it's just Microsoft Excel because they don't know how text messaging works. So great. Also, can we just point out that this was a time like when Destiny's Child was still together, and there wasn't this question of like, oh, Beyonce's gonna be Beyonce. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there was still room for Kelly to just kind of like have room to breathe and do her own thing without it being this comparison, I guess I would say.
That's an important note. And like was able to go off and like we didn't understand the juggernaut that Beyonce would be. So Beyonce having her song, Kelly having her song.
If I'm being real with myself, I didn't realize Beyonce was going to be Beyonce until at least 2010, 2012.
Really?
It took a while for me.
I knew immediately. I knew when she went off and she was successful, I was like, she doesn't have to go back. But because of the type of person she is, unlike some people who will go unnamed, when she said she was coming back, she came back. And again, naming it Destiny Fulfilled told you everything you needed to know.
You ain't wrong.
I did it. I'm done. So yeah, absolutely. Okay. So that was Dilemma was not. It was not my ballad, but it was on my list. But luckily enough, I prepared for that. And my ballad was another song that you could not go anywhere without hearing. It was iconic. And when I was like, I need a song that will give you vocals and passion and that whole, what we had talked about last week with the R&B, like the pleading. And that was Jordan Sparks and Chris Brown's No Air.
Tell me how I'm supposed to breathe with no air, bro.
when they hit them notes, and they're just going at it. To me, I was like, this is duet. This is what we came for.
I love No Air. It's such a great song. I also have to say, I feel like this song came out at a time, and I could be wrong, when we all thought Chris Brown was like innocent.
Yes.
Like where he still kind of had that like, I don't know, that like mama's boy kind of persona. I don't know. There was a time, y'all, like pre Rihanna, where we all were like, oh, he's just this cute little kid. And I feel like he was still kind of in that atmosphere when he collaborated with Jordan for this, in his like forever phase, I guess, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I love the song, and I love Jordan Sparks. I used to like watch her on American Idol because she is an American Idol kid. I don't know if she has any big songs other than this one, but I do remember this just being on the radio nonstop.
She has like other songs, but to your like, I think this is like one of her biggest songs. And then also, I used to work out with her. She's still good at my gym. So,
what?
Yeah. It was one of those things where you're like, that's Jordan Sparks. I ain't gonna say anything because I ain't trying to be that person. But anyway, just want to say that my former workout buddy, Jordan Sparks.
Oh, all right, well, shut up.
No Air, yeah.
All right, well, that is No Air, number three power ballad. Moving on to a dance track, getting the energy up again. You know what? To me, again, there are songs that just made such an impact on me, on my life, on the culture, on middle and high school. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is one of them. Collaboration by two Dirty South rap groups. My number four dance track is Get Low by Lil Jon and the East Side Boys featuring the Ying Gang Twins. I what could top it? What could top Get Low?
Here's the thing. 369. Damn, she's fine.
get low. To the window. I mean, till this day. To the wall. To the sweat drops down my balls. I mean, to all these bitches crawl. To all.
Ski, ski, ski. Have you heard, we've been talking a lot about, like, the club in the last few, just because we've been doing these mixtapes, and there's a whole day where this dude talks about, someone was like, oh, I know you're old because you always have your hands up in the air at the club. And everybody was like, how are you supposed to point to the window, to the wall? What y'all even doing?
How are they supposed to know that I just don't care?
You
know?
Exactly.
The roof ain't going to raise itself.
So yes, that is a really, really good one.
Such a fun song. And also just like, I think it's like Dave Chappelle or some comedian has this joke where they're talking about like the only reason why that song was a hit was because white people didn't know what it meant when it came out.
Exactly.
And it's just a ridiculously filthy song. But just a classic that won't go away.
Okay. So because of that, let's see, dance music. I'm gonna go in this direction, which is Me Against the Music with Britney and Madonna.
Ooh, two divas for the price of one.
Just me. Yes. And they came in like it was so much. I remember when, again, we're talking iconic collaborations that came in. This song came in and it just blew everyone away. First of all, this is right after the VMA show.
I was going to ask if it was after the kiss. Okay.
Right after the kiss. Like, Britney, Madonna, Christina was there.
Yes. What we're referring to for the youngins is the 2003 VMAs in which there was a performance by Madonna. She brought out Britney and Christina and she makes out with both of them on stage. Although the camera was kind of too focused on the crowd reaction of Britney to really for us to see the kiss with Christina. So people often forget about it, but she does kiss them both.
I'm up against the speaker trying to take on the music like a competition to me against the beat. I want to get in the zone. If you really want to battle, saddle up and get your rhythm, try to hit it in a minute, I'm going to take you out. Like that whole, and the dance moves, like the gym just going back and forth. It was like the older generation with Madonna and the new generation with Britney coming together and then just having both a dance off, a sing off, a phenomenal moment. And again,
two icons.
Gay heart. Loved it when I had a dance track. I was like, it's got to be this. So, yep, Me Against the Music.
Great choice. Great choice. All right. Well, we have our dance songs locked in. Now we're going to our track number five, our catchy earworm. so many options for this as well.
Yes, this one had many options.
I decided to go with the song that I like to sing in the car, a song that I feel like still slaps to this day, even though it was from like 2005, which is so long ago. My submission for my number five catchy earworm is Shakira featuring Wyclef Jean, Hips Don't Lie. This song
is... you chose that one with Shakira, but that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this song, I mean, till the end of the day, I feel like you could put the song on at any time. It also just touches my, like, I know she's Colombian, but my little Puerto Rican heart just kind of loves to kind of salsa and kind of move my hips to this song. Shakira, just, oh my God, Shakira during this time period. Wyclef does, I don't really know how much he contributes to this in terms of like the music video, but vocally, you know, he has that kind of Caribbean flair that I really add to the song a lot. And I mean, till this day, you know, I'm on tonight. You know, my hips don't lie. And I'm starting to feel that's right. Attraction, attention. Don't you see, this is perfection. It's so good. And, you know, it's just a fun song to dance to. Like, to this day, I feel like you could put this on at a party and it's just going to get people moving. So, hips don't lie. Hips don't
lie. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay. So, because you did that, Hips Don't Lie is a really good one. Shakira is fine. I expected you to do like Beautiful Liar with her and Beyonce, but I respect it. And Hips Don't Lie is a different sound that we don't always get. So I like that one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with, let me make sure that I'm doing this right. Okay. We are with Catchy Earworm. This one, off of where we just went with Me Against the Music, you had said it, and to me, this is like an earworm that when you hear it, it gets stuck in your ear. You sing it over and over again. You find yourself way days later just being like, what a good man. And like you said, Salt and Pepper and In Vogue.
Two powerhouses, yeah.
Two powerhouses, and that combination is just so good. And again, to me, they... In Vogue enhances that song in such a way. And, you know, you get those little riffs at the end, but the lyrics are also so much fun.
What I love about this song, so What a Man is literally a song about whoever the, you know, protagonist of the song is, them just talking about like, yo, I found a good one. Like, I know all of y'all.
He loves me. Never says he loves me not.
No, yeah. Like, you know, I know there's so many, like, songs about these guys who are dogging you out, but I found the good one, and I'm going to give him his flowers. And, like, I there's so many, like, great lines that are in the song, but I just love the overall, a body like Arnold with a Denzel face. My man is smooth like fairies, Boy Scout bass. Like, it's just such good, it's such good writing. Time
for his kids when he can.
when he can. Yeah, I love this song, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that was mine. That was my number five.
Okay, all right. Great.
And I'm still singing it in my head. That's an earworm.
All right, so moving from our earworm to our self-reflective bop. Lots of songs that could have gone in this one. But again, I chose a collab that I felt like really made an impact culturally. This song, I don't know if it really has like if Gen Z would recognize this song as much as like a Gen X or millennial would. I don't know if it has that kind of staying power, but I still love it. I still think it works. And my number six self-reflective bop is If I Ruled the World by Nas featuring Lauryn Hill.
If I ruled the world.
Imagine that. I free all my sons. I love them, baby. Black diamonds and pearls. Could it be? We both smile, we both shine. If I rule the world, it's just great. It's literally talking. It's a song with Nas, who I think is one of the greatest storytellers in hip hop. Literally, just like having this conversation about like what he would do, the things he would change if he was in charge of the world, mostly taking care of like systematic issues regarding like race and, you know, drug laws and things like that were really prominent issues for people of color and Black folk at the time. He's always just been one of those dudes who you know, uses his pen to help elevate the community in the genre. So really have to give flowers to Nas. He's still killing it. Nas has put out like 3 albums in the last like 5 years. This dude can't be stopped. Like, he's still rapping hardcore. And what I love is that we have very few rappers who are like, I don't know, like, you know how like classic rock, you know how like you see Steven Tyler, you know how like you see Mick Jagger, yes, and they're like the legends, and they've been doing it for like Paul McCartney, oh, I'm 60, I'm still doing it. Yeah. Like, we have a few rappers. We have a few like Busta Rhymeses and Nas and a few other people who are like, no, I've been doing this forever. This is all I know how to do. And I'm going to keep doing it because it's fun for me. And Nas is one of those guys. So this song's great. Obviously, Lauryn Hill was at the top of her game during this time. I think this was before her solo album, but this is when the Fugees were huge. I feel like the song came out right after Killing Me Softly, so like it was just like a massive year for Lauryn Hill. And yeah, the song still love it.
It's a really good one. It's a really, really good one. I love what you chose. Okay, so for yours, I went somewhere where I was like, I need this. If we are talking feel good, sunny, this song feels bright. It feels summertime, and it is, in a word, smooth. Featuring Rob Thomas and Santana.
Because it's hot. So smooth.
Man, it's a hot one.
Love like, the song, bro.
So good. This song, like Santana and Rob Thomas, this was one of those ones where it's like when it came together, you were like, what? This song.
Yeah, match 20 and fucking Santana together? This is so weird, but it worked.
It worked so well. Just like the ocean under the moon.
Under the moon.
That I get from you. You got the kind of loving that could be so smooth. Yeah. Give me your heart. Make it real. Or else
forget about it.
And then Santana coming in with the guitar. It's just like,
You know, I feel like for our generation, this was made, I mean, I can speak for myself. This was my first introduction to Santana was this song. I understand that he's kind of this legendary guitarist, but there was nothing that really translated to me or my age group until this song came along. So this kind of really let me know what was going on with him.
Absolutely. I will say that I knew of Santana, but this is like the song that I think of with Santana. This and then like Maria Maria.
I love Maria Maria.
Maria,
Maria. Find me up a West Side Story.
This whole album, his whole Supernatural album was great. I think it won like a shit ton of Grammys too. I think it like tied Lauryn Hill for like the most Grammys, or Michael Jackson or something, for the most Grammys won for a single project or something like that. So it's
so good.
Yeah.
I love every moment of it. Yeah. So yeah, that's mine.
So smooth. great choice. That was actually on my alt list, so I'm glad it's on there.
Okay.
All right, so moving on to number 7, this is our last dance track of the album, technically. I have a very hip-hop R&B thing happening with my playlist that I'm sticking with. Reason being is that I realized during my research for collaborations, it just felt far more acceptable, I guess, within hip-hop and R&B for there to be kind of consistent collaborations, for a rap artist to put out an album in which like every other song has a collaborator. You don't really get that much with rock bands, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like there's a few, don't get me wrong, but this just doesn't happen as often. And so like that's why I feel like hip-hop was a really great genre to kind of ruffle through for this playlist. All that being said, my number 7 song for my collaboration playlist is Timberland, Nelly Furtado, Promiscuous.
Of course.
Am I throwing you off? Nope.
Didn't think so.
I love this song. I love this song since the moment I heard it. It's such a great, like, fun song to dance to. It just also came out around the time that like I started college. So like in terms of just like holding memories for me of just like partying and things like that for the first time, like this song really holds a lot of memories with me. And it's just a great song to sing, like promiscuous girl, you're never you are. I'm all alone and it's you that I want. Promiscuous boy, you already know. It's a great duet for a karaoke. It's just fun. It's just a fun song. So Promiscuous by Nelly Furtado and Timberland, off of the Loose album, 2006.
And you're right, that was like a I have feelings about Timbaland now, and we know why. But I will say, like, I'm not gonna lie. Part of my list struggled because there were people where I'm like, no, I will not reward you.
It's hard.
It's hard to have standards and a good playlist. I'm gonna tell you that now. But yeah, Promiscuous was everywhere. And it was such a good song. To what you were talking about earlier, hip hop and R&B, such an iconic thing. You'll see a lot more of that later in mine. But if we are talking collabs, if we are talking iconic, fun songs, I had Tupac and Casey and JoJo with How Do You Want It? And JoJo with How Do You Want It?
Oh,
great. How do you want it?
How do you feel? Coming up as a nigga in the cash game, looking for the fast lane. I'm real.
Yeah.
Love this song. I love, honestly, I mean, I'm surprised we haven't landed on any Tupac yet. I guess just the standard, like the genres that we've been doing for our playlist hasn't lent to it. But so happy to see Pac on a playlist. Was obsessed with this greatest hit CD when I was a kid and just listened to it over and over and over again.
I mean, first of all, Tupac, 90s. As you said, I needed to have a Tupac song. Casey and JoJo are iconic in their R&B. In general, and then like that mashup, it just, again, it works so naturally. It's really fun, and I like when we have hip hop in the lyrics, but like R&B in the chorus. Like, that's just a fun mashup, and it's a really good time. So yeah, that was my choice.
And you know what, you get that a lot with Pac, actually. I mean, he rarely works with artists as well known as Casey and JoJo, but so many of, like, so like the cool thing about Pac is that he basically has like ballads. He like has club songs, and then he has like ballads. He has like Dear Mama, and then he has like I Get Around. But like, you'll know this, R&B is consistent kind of throughout. It was known that Tupac actually listened to more R&B than hip hop, which is why there's so much R&B within his songs. Almost all of his choruses have like singing as a part of it, which is kind of like what I think separates Pac from, like, I don't know, like Wu-Tang, which had like no choruses at all. Like, it was just straight like nine dudes rapping in a row, versus Pac that was just like, no, like, let's slow it down a little bit, let's have some R&B onto this, because he knew it would kind of add to the emotional element of it. And you know, you get that with, you know, Keep Your Head Up, you get that with, you know, Changes. So you know, you just see that a lot throughout his whole discography. Loved hip hop and love R&B.
That was my funky groove, and to me, again, it was like, it's funky.
It is. It's great.
Yeah. it's very West Coast, if I'm gonna say that, but like, yeah. Okay, so we are to our deep cuts already. How did we get to our deep cuts already? But that's where we're at, deep cuts. What is your number 8?
This is another one. Again, like, I feel like it's hard to do a deep cut for a collab song, specifically because it, more often than not, is the selling point of a person's album, is like, hey, me and this person got together, this is going to be one of our singles. So it's very hard for me to find like a deep cut that doesn't really work. So I tried to just go with something that I really loved. And I'm pulling from hip hop once again. My number 9 track is a combination of 4 of the greatest MCs ever, somewhat might say. So my number 8 track is Forever by Drake, Kanye, Lil Wayne, and Eminem. It may not mean nothing to y'all, but understand that was done for me.
Yes.
And I don't plan on stopping at all. I want this shit forever, man. What I love about this song is that, okay, so you have Drake, Kanye, Lil Wayne, and Eminem. They're all trying to out-rap the other. Absolutely. Every single person, like, I feel like each of them kind of give some of their greatest performances of any of their work, just because they're in competition. It's known that like Eminem put down his verse and then Kanye was like, I gotta go back, I gotta redo mine. So like everyone is pushing each other like to get to another level. But in terms of just like actual, just like, I don't know, just pure hip hop, I just don't know that anything even compares. And like Lil Wayne's verse in this is insane. Eminem is probably his best verse ever. I'm not even a huge Drake fan, but for, you know, this song to kind of feature these great legends, I just felt like he was able to hold his own, especially early in his career. And just, it's just a great collaboration, I think.
It's a baton almost.
Definitely, like, definitely.
Where rap was at the beginning to where rap was going.
Absolutely.
Simply with having Drake on and Eminem, for going from Eminem to Lil Wayne to Drake, like, it's like, it is a really good song that, I don't know, like, it's not mentioned or brought up as much, but it was a hit. It was a bop.
Thought so. I thought it was a great, hit. You're right. It's not something that gets brought up a lot, but in the same way that when we hear Monster and I'm just like, oh, that's when mm-hmm. I found, like, Lil' Kim really, like, made her impact on me. Yeah. I feel the same way about Drake with this song. Like, this is when I started, like, really keeping an eye out for Drake and just kind of understanding, him as an artist coming up in hip hop. Again, not a huge fan of him since, but, I'm this song, I feel like, still holds its own.
Being on that, like, validated that song, so you're absolutely right. Yeah. To that point, which is so funny to me, you said Lil' Kim when I think you meant Nicki.
Oh, Nicki, yeah, sorry.
On Monster, but, okay, you were talking about it's hard to find a deep cut. This song was like the epitome of, like, you had to be there to get it. You had to be there to hear it. You don't hear it very often. It's not played in a lot of places, but when it came out, it was played everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another one where it's like, we hadn't done this type of collaboration in a long, long time. And what's even better is it's a good song. I am talking about the All-Star Tribute, What's Going On, which was a cover of Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, starting
this is the 9/11 one, right?
This is not 9/11. I think it was AIDS. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, AIDS. World's AIDS.
AIDS? Okay. 2001. It was, well, yeah, 2001. Maybe that's why I thought it was 9/11.
It was P. Diddy, NSYNC, Nelly, Monica, Bono, Destiny's Child, Ja Rule, Eve, Nelly Furtado, Christina Aguilera, Alicia Keys, Jennifer Lopez, Gwen Stefani, Britney Spears. Like, if you were on the charts, you were in this song.
It's everyone. It's the everyone. We Are the World of 9/11.
Are the World of 2000s. And that was like, I was like, oh, we're talking collaboration. This is, again, you don't hear it that often.
Yeah.
It is, everyone gets like a little line and they do so good. And I, like, again, there are people where I'm like, oh, Fred Durst is on this. It works. Everyone's song, everyone's part really blends well together. And this was a really fun song. The music video was them, like, just removing, and everyone had, like, little words and bandages over their eyes. It's a lot.
I remember it all. It's all coming back.
But yeah, that was one where I was like, if we want to talk deep cut, this is deep. You wow. had to be there. And that's my choice. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Great select. So we have made it through our deep cut. We are down to our track number 9, Retro Vibes, Acoustic Vibes.
9.
For this song, I don't know if anyone is going to appreciate this who didn't live in Florida.
Okay.
No, I won't say that, but this is just like the epitome of Florida. And when I tell you what it is, it's two artists making a song that just, you're like, why did these two people get together? Why did they make a song? But it kind of worked.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about. It's hitting me. I want to see if I'm right. But,
and I will say this. This is the first time I've broken my own rule and I have the same artist twice on the playlist.
I know that we are talking about the
so
same song.
My number 5, my acoustic, is Nelly featuring Tim McGraw over and over.
Yep. I knew
this
it.
Song has no business being good. It has no business being made. And there's no reason for Nelly and Tim McGraw to even have this conversation.
Because it's all in my head.
I think about it over and over again. And now, what's so interesting is that I feel like this song specifically is the reason why country music sounds the way it does now. It was the first Lil Nas X before Lil Nas X. It was the first time you had country and hip hop happening in a way that was cohesive and made people go, oh, there's something about this that works. And now you have Florida Georgia Line literally built an entire career based off of this sound. So like, it's so interesting to see how this was like the first part of something that was going to play a very larger part in music. Much like Jay-Z and Linkin Park, just the sound of these two names being together was just a what the fuck moment. But I love the song. It works. And I honestly think that Nelly, his like, probably very similar to Drake. I feel like we don't equate the two, but in the way that they're not shy to sing, if it comes down to it, if they're like, hey, I want to slow this down, I want to sing it a little bit, they're both willing to do it. And I feel like Nelly doesn't really get the credit for being that person who can almost have like a singing rap voice in a way that works really well and flows from genre to genre.
And it's so funny that you chose that, because that was in my reserves. And specifically, because again, I was like, it was almost my deep cut, because I was like, who is going to remember this song? but it did. It existed. It was really important when it came out. And you're right. I don't know if it's because we went to the same school. But like, when that song came out, it and I think it blended so perfectly, because you got that country, which was really big at the time and where we were, but you also got hip hop and the ability to make those two come together in a way that like worked is very rare, at least for the time.
I will also say, like, I'm thinking high school. We graduated 2006 to date ourselves. When I think of high school, like, the most prominent genres of music played at our specific high school in our specific Florida town was country and hip hop. So to kind of capture both of those demographics in one song is actually very genius from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah.
So kudos to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Siege, what's your number 9?
We were talking about old school, and I've brought this one up before, and to me, I couldn't really do acoustic the way that I wanted to, but I felt like this, again, what's a really good thing about like retro vibes is like you get that the samples that we use of, and I'm talking about Method Man and Mary J. Blige's I'll Be There For You.
Yes, great. Okay, for those who don't know, this is a remake. Well, I guess you wouldn't really call it a remake, but it's a sample of the Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, Motown song "You're All I Need to Get By." But just this great hip hop version. They actually, the full story of this is on TikTok. You can actually see where they kind of came up with this, idea. But this wasn't like, hey, we're going to sample this song and turn it into a hip hop song. It just kind of happened in like a really weird way. And it just worked really well.
Yeah, like the history of like how this song happened, who is responsible for it, who got credit for it, and how the song turned out completely. It's not what it should be, but it's a very interesting story. Go and check it out. But
rarely is.
I'll Be There For You, You're All I Need to Get By is A, it harkens back to what we were talking about, which is like it's a man and a woman declaring their love for each other, but also it is bringing back one of the most classic duets and combinations, which was Tammy Terrell and who was it again? Why did I
Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell.
Marvin Gaye, thank you. I said, my mind said Marvin Gaye, but that iconic song of You're All I Need to Get By, but brought up into a time that it works. You're still talking about love. You're still talking about harmony. You're still talking about a couple being together, seeing each other through the good times and the bad. And like just his Method Man's hard rap lyrics mixed with Mary J. Blige's cover of the Tammy Terrell it's so good. It's so much fun. That to me, again, it had really old school vibes, not just because of the sample, but because of the way that it is constructed and the kind of thesis of the song.
Definitely. And you know, I just want to throw this out there. It's not within our time parameter, I would say, but this is my favorite Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell song as well. Yes, like they have Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing. They have Ain't No Mountain High Enough. But, you know, this is one I always just love the song. So I love that it got an update. And again, like you have Method Man. This is him like Wu-Tang is at the height of their fame, right? And then you have Mary J. Blige, who we kind of mentioned during our Divas episode, was very inspired by the New York hip hop scene. And it just seemed like a perfect like blend for these two to get together. And I feel like this song still lives on as one of the more famous hip hop collabs from that time period.
Okay, it is time. We've already reached song number 10.
I don't know why it feels like
it's just speeding by, but why don't you give a little bit of recap and then let us know what your final song will be.
Okay, so we started off with Lady Marmalade, then we moved over to Nothing But a G Thing, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, then we did Dilemma, Nelly and Kelly Rowland. Number four is Get Low, Lil Jon and the East Side Boys featuring the Ying Yang Twins. Number five, Hips Don't Lie, Shakira featuring Wyclef Jean. If I Ruled the World, Nas featuring Lauryn Hill. Promiscuous, Nelly Furtado featuring Timberland. Forever, Drake, Kanye West, Lil Wayne, Eminem. Number nine is Over and Over by Nelly and Tim McGraw. And number 10, again. So many ways I could have gone with this, so absolutely. Many directions I could have gone, but I felt really comfortable in my hip-hop space, so I'm staying here.
I love it. That's a good, it's a good place to be.
My album is it's cohesive, and I'm into it, and I can't think of a better way to end a playlist than with a collaboration that was a song that I just couldn't, I didn't stop hearing for like 5 years straight after it came out. It's probably the most famous song by this specific artist that's out, that ever was released. I just love this song. So without further ado, my number 10, my closer, my grand finale is Diddy, formerly Puff Daddy, I'll Be Missing You, featuring Faith Evans and 112. It's kind of hard with you not around. No, you in heaven smiling down, watching us while we pray for you. Every day we pray for you. Till the day we meet again. In my heart's why I keep you friend. I could do this whole thing. I memorized this rap when I was 7 years old. This song
made me cry. It was like one of the very first songs that made me cry. Just because like, yes, you're right. Like this song is a good collaboration. I love that it made the playlist, and yes.
It's a moment. And also, like, I very specifically remember the VMA performance, which was obviously a dedication to Notorious B.I.G., who had passed, who the song is dedicated to. And you have Sting coming out to sing with them, who, you know, the song samples Every Breath You Take by The Police. So, you know, it's just a lot of collaboration happening with this song. Like I said, I feel like this is one of those songs that I heard forever after the summer it was released. And it's just, you know, ending in my playlist, it just feels like a good way to close it out. So I'll be missing you.
Thinking of the day when you went away.
And honestly, if you wanted to make that the earworm one, that was like one where just again, like I like you said, for years. Okay, and I hated it for a little bit because it would literally haunt me. This is a song that came out after B.I.G. had passed, and like I just like the nation felt that this song felt it, like you could just feel it. So yeah, it's a really really good choice.
On that morning when this life is over.
Great song, bro. All right, so Siege, we have come to the end of your collab playlist. Why don't you give us a little recap and share with our audience how you decided to end your mixtape?
Quick recap. I have The Boy Is Mine by Brandy and Monica, Numb by Jay-Z and Linkin Park, No Air by Jordan Sparks and Chris Brown, Me Against the Music by Britney Spears and Madonna, What a Man by Salt-N-Pepa and En Vogue, Smooth by Santana and Rob Thomas, How Do You Want It by Tupac, Casey, and JoJo, What's Going On, All-Star Tribute, I'll Be There For You, You're All I Need to Get by Method Man and Mary J. Blige, and For Me. Okay, like you said, we will talk about bonus tracks and all the ones that like could have made it, didn't make it, for whatever
reason. So many.
There was a lot. There was like, we could do a whole other one. But this one, obviously, I felt like I had to do it. It is iconic. I understand that I have a problem. I've used this artist on multiple playlists, and that's not on me. That's on a good discography. Like, I don't know what to tell you. But this song, this collab was huge. It was epic. It was showstopper. It has been, what is it called, imitated several times, but never duplicated. And it is, of course, the iconic Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson.
Oh, you finally got it on the fucking playlist.
I finally got it on the playlist.
Circling that for the longest time.
I've been circling it, as you said. It felt like the right payoff, the right moment.
And oh, man.
It's like the song itself, to me, it has like the poppy energy, like The Rest of Mine. It has two icons in of themselves. And I have to say, like, we don't have a lot of brother-sister acts. We don't have a lot of, like, brother-sister individual artists. So this really does feel like something so precious to me, but also to pop culture. Where it's like I think the only other one I can think of is, like, Donnie and Marie.
Donnie and Marie, for sure. Also the Carpenters, our brother and sister.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, who have their own individual career.
Oh, yeah.
And then came together. Like, the only other one, which is, like, a real deep cut, is, like, BB and CeCe Winans.
Yeah.
But, like, that's what I think you could get. Outside of that, we don't have individual artists who are their own huge pop stars. And then they came together on a song that isn't, like, some B-side track. This is the song. This was huge. This was the music video.
This was at the time, the most expensive music video. I think Michael spent multi-millions of dollars on this 10-minute music video, ended up being shortened to like 4 minutes. Like, he had a bigger budget for a 4-minute music video than movies had at that time. Exactly. Like, it's crazy.
But it's paid off and it's lasted. It is history. And as you said, I understand for all of those listeners who are like, I needed to have this on.
You needed to, clearly.
Scream, Janet Jackson, and Michael Jackson.
Well, fantastic. And no, I do want to quickly shout out the band Lawrence, which is touring with the Jonas Brothers right now. They're brother and sister duo, which are fantastic. So there are a few brother sisters out there, but, like, again, very rare within pop music. And clearly the most famous of all the Jacksons coming together. I mean, it's an iconic moment. Bro, I could talk about Michael Jackson all day. So, like,
I know. All right. So you guys, you tell us who had the better playlist. Before we go, we have ones that didn't make the cut. And I have to say, I can hear you right now screaming, how could you forget this song? What about this song? Where were you at? Well, I mean, why don't you give us your selects? But before we do, hit them with some of the bonus tracks that didn't quite fit your playlist.
I'm going to run through these quick because I have so many. Where is the Love? Black Eyed Peas, Justin Timberlake. Hey, I'm Real.
Good one.
Jennifer Lopez, Ja Rule. Where the Party At? Another Nelly, Jagged Edge. Slow Jams by Twista, Kanye West was going to be my throwback ballad. I had Smooth on mine as well. And if we're going back further, some songs that just didn't really fit. Endless Love, Lionel Richie and Diana Ross, like, amazing duet. Will I Am and Britney's Scream and Shout was on here for me. And then, like, we were talking about how there's not a lot of, like, rock artists that do collabs, but Broken by Seether and Amy Lee came to mind as well. So
Broken was almost like, if you had taken my, like, Broken was, like, on my list of, like, ballads of that very reason. And it was really good. All right, so let me give you some of mine. First of all, I feel bad that it wasn't not on either of our playlists, but that's how the dice rolls. Walk This Way with Run DMC and Aerosmith is like the iconic mashup of two different genres coming together and people being like, what? What are you talking about? This is possible? This is a thing? So
yeah. I feel like that was Encore for the 80s audience. I feel like it was probably a lot bigger of a deal than Encore was, but we weren't there. We were like infants if we were even alive at all. So I apologize to the Gen Xers who are just screaming at us, but we weren't there for it.
The Baby Boy by Beyonce and Sean Paul.
Oh, sure.
That is an icon. Another one that's just like, everyone was like, what are you talking about? We can have these two people in one song. Let Me Blow Your Mind by Eve. And
yeah, Kelsey. That's a great one.
That was such a good one. It didn't quite fit where I wanted to, And I think it was just because I really wanted Smooth.
I wanted Smooth is great.
So because of that, I kept it in. But like, Let Me Blow Your Mind by Eve and Gwen Stefani was an iconic one. A few more really quick ones. Picture by Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow. Couldn't endorse Kid Rock, but that was
that's a deep cut, bro. I like that one. Yeah,
that was a good one. Ricky Martin and Christina Aguilera's Nobody Wants to Be Lonely.
Not as good.
No, I didn't say it was good. I said it was there. And then the last two that I'll give you are Because of You by Reba McEntire and Kelly Clarkson.
Ooh, okay.
That one was, again, Kelly Clarkson came out with it herself originally. It was a really great song. Reba was like, this is a country song. We gonna remix this and give it to you. Fantastic. And then for you, you would appreciate this. Bring It All to Me, featuring Black and listed as NSYNC.
But we all
know the real star.
Yeah. We all know who has baggy jeans and thug appeal. We all know.
Exactly. So those are, like I said, there were so many really fun ones that
One last one that I just want to list that I had on here was Queen, Under Pressure.
Yes, Queen Under Pressure, another really iconic one that I was going to put in.
With David Bowie, yeah.
Had you chosen the screen. Oh, you know it's another really good one, but again, I had used Janet. Janet and Busta Rhymes, What's It Gonna Be?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Honestly, I was really trying to avoid, like, especially we did R&B and Divas back-to-back, so I was just like, man, I know Mariah has, like, this song with Boyz II Men. I know she has this song with Whitney Houston, but I feel like I've just dipped into those pools too often. Exactly. I was really trying to challenge myself to kind of go somewhere else.
You did well. I'm here for you. One that it only is not on my list because I cannot find the version that deserves to be on a collab, and that is Hot Boys. Featuring Nas, Lil Mo,
oh yeah,
Missy Elliott, and Eve. Like that remix, which you can only find on like music video version. You can't find it on streaming. That was another one where I was like, that everyone coming together, killing it.
I am kind of upset now that I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, man, I didn't put Usher, Lil Jon, Ludacris. Yeah. I didn't have more money, more problems. Like that would have worked really well. Mace,
there's so many.
There's
like,
so many.
There's so many.
So many. Really too many. Yeah, What's exactly. Love, Fat Joe. Like it's too much.
Oh, I like the pairing of Ja Rule and
an R&B singer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, like Ja Rule and Ashanti again was one where I was like, just so many, and then Fabulous. And Tamia and Into You again, really good ones. So we'll be coming back. We have more to do. Again, I guarantee you this will be one of our more controversial mixtapes because there are so many and people are like, "How did you not have this?" But either way, we are so happy and thankful that you guys have been listening to this series.
I just want to say, thanks to everybody for listening. We really struggled when the strike first happened as to like what we were able to talk about. And I feel like we've had a lot of fun with this mixtape process. I feel like everyone who's been commenting and giving us their ideas, we love it all. And I don't feel like this is going away forever. We might pop up at Christmas or at Valentine's or at special occasions. I don't know. Who knows with the mixtape episode. But, you know, we've had a lot of fun and we just appreciate you guys being flexible with us throughout the strike period.
Absolutely. You guys, don't forget, send us your selects for your playlist. Don't forget to vote on our Instagram for who you thought had the better playlist. You guys listen to our Boy Meets World stuff. We can now say that and promote it. We will be coming back with you for season 7. Reach out to us at Boy Meets World or email us at boymeetsworld@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, all the things. And thank you so much. We will see you soon. This has been Boy Meets World. Let's make a mixtape.
This episode of Boy Meets World presents Let's Make a Mixtape was produced by Siege and edited by Tony Curtis. Boy Meets World presents is a 2Free Tokens Media production.
Later, bro.
Later, bruh.